and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 456. Yes, 456, Mike. Yay! How are we all doing? Oh, great fun in the UK today, isn't it?
I'm fine. I'm just looking at my email from Anna.
What email from Anna? Who's Anna?
Anna.
Oh, one of his women.
Yes, she wants to send me intimate photos.
Really? One of those women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight to my spam.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give her the bum's rush. So how's everybody else doing? I need to go and get the chat, don't I? Let's see who was first in excitement. Got to refresh it or it cheats. Hello, Simon. Good grief. Wasn't that twice, Simon? Oh, clearly inspired by Bongo. Can't say any more than that. Or it'll upset Simon.
Good evening, Tony.
Did you watch live? So hello, Simon. Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan Madley refreshing, I'm suspecting. And then there's Mike. And Tony.
Me.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Kim. Amazing, Simon. Amazing.
Tony might be a happy man.
Why?
Or his missus will be.
They won, didn't they?
Did Slovakia win?
They won. They won 2-1.
It's Slovakia, isn't it?
Oh, poor Scotland. Oh, do you know, they hung on. They were doing so well. And then, no, sadly. But good goals last night. Enjoyed the Netherlands last night. Wow. Ah, now, you see, Simon doesn't watch the news briefings for the same reason. It was best Elvis avoided watching TV. And I don't have a gun. Well, I didn't see it either. I thought, football or Bongo. I thought, well, I know what he's going to say. That actually annoys me. It annoys me that I know what he's going to say. Because I think Cameron, well, actually, Blair started this. It's like private briefings to test out reaction. And I think, are people that stupid? They can't see that. So the government puts something out unofficially, you know, sources close to the Prime Minister, and see what the reaction is. And if it goes off like Vesuvius, then they rein it back in. But other than that, they just carry on. And I'm thinking, I would rather... I don't want the newspapers printing it 3 days in hand just to see where we're at. He should have more courage, but that, it's Boris we're talking about. So I pretty much knew what was going to be said. So I walked in and he said, 19th of July. I said, yeah, knew that. 4 weeks, that was when it was going to be. And we knew yesterday morning, I think. So why did he bother making a special fuss tonight? Don't understand it. And the worst thing is, weddings can go ahead, though. So, you know, I mentioned last night that people were complaining that they'd booked weddings. Well, don't book a wedding in a pandemic. But actually, it's bigger than that, isn't it? If the wedding is more important to you than the marriage, then you really do have a big problem. Remember those people who spent an absolute fortune on a wedding and then didn't have money for other things? And the other things, and this wedding was about 30-odd thousand. The other things were really important. And when I say important, I mean really, really important, that would have impacted their life in a much bigger way than the wedding would. Because by then, the wedding was just history and a big bill. I mean IVF. So maybe that money could have been better spent, you know, thinking about it, because it's the marriage that matters. But never mind. What does everybody else think?
Coyotes tend not to attack humans.
Oh, that's good. Oh, stepson's happy shappy. Excellent, Tony. And Kiva. Oh, no. Harrowing experience. Kim and Kiva. Oh, no. What's going on? Stalked by a juvenile coyote.
Yeah, coyotes tend not to attack humans. We saw a fox the other morning and it saw Lola and Scarpered.
Wow. That's terrifying, Kim. You'd be tempted to pick up Kiva, wouldn't you, and just leg it?
Yeah.
I thought they
would. I suppose there's a difference between Kiva and Lola in size.
Yeah, although Lola looks bigger than she actually is. You know, if she was wet, she'd look like a greyhound. You know, she's not a big dog, is she?
Not Lola, settle on your mat.
Come on. On your mat. Down you come. Good girl.
Well,
we're rather stuffed with sausages today, aren't we, Lola?
Sausages.
And then there's been a treat there for a week and she'd been turning her nose up at it. So I picked it up and put it on the table. And Mike said, where's that treat? She's looking for something on the floor.
Oh.
Gives her the treat that's been there a week, you know, dusted the fur off it and that. And she's like, oh, yeah, definitely an etit. Oh, clearly a woman thing. Do they run away? Are they frightened by you waving your arms and screaming? I understood that they would be.
Kim says they'll attack dogs, though. That's not good.
No, that's not good. Oh, dear. Did us guys cover the thing of Bongo getting married in a Catholic cathedral? He's been married 9 times, hasn't he? Well, I don't think we actually mentioned that, but I did notice that. And that really narks me. That really does knock me. I mentioned it in the past in relation to Princess Michael, who was also Catholic. So when she married, she was divorced, and she married Prince Michael. Her name's actually Teresa, I think. She got married and was thus excommunicated. It's not negotiable, this. It's like you married outside the Catholic Church and you are Catholic. So bye. The next I see, she's visiting with the Pope, and I remember it because she had a mantilla on, which is headgear, usually black lace. So like an old style thing a nun would have worn years ago. And I thought, what are you doing? You know, and there he is blessing the wedding, blessing the marriage. I'm like, what? Obviously money changed hands is all I can say. I think, is it this his third time round? It is with marriage, but like you say, the children could have come from many, many, many different sources. It's I think that's wrong, but well, either it's wrong that he's getting preferential treatment, but if other people can do that, but I mean, we know people at church who are divorced, and it not their fault. You know, they weren't the one at fault in this. One of them was being abused, so she would rock up bruised to glory. So in the end, she got out. But technically speaking, she shouldn't be at Mass. Our priest doesn't care. He wouldn't have it any other way. He wouldn't have it that she wasn't there. But technically speaking, if the bishop rocked up and checked, if he checked the paperwork, he'd be there a long while with our church, wouldn't he? Because you and I are living in sin and we're Eucharistic ministers. You'd be there a while checking the paperwork, but either anybody should be able to do that or not Boris. Simple as. So yes, Simon, I did clock that. 30,000, say, for a down payment for a house. Well, exactly, Kim. Now, as it happens, they already had a house, but that's not the point. You're spending that amount of money on other people's, you know, it's food for other people or items to impress other people. And then you're in a position where, well, now there's no kids. Oh, dear. You really do need to think about that. Sort your priorities out. Maybe that's what they do at that Catholic marriage guidance thing.
Oh, yeah.
Before you're even married.
The one we're not going to.
The one we're not going to. That's not happening. Mind you, you see, that, well, with them, they don't believe in IVF, do they?
Who?
The Catholic Church.
I've no idea.
They're a weird lot. They're a weird lot, and I'm allowed to say that because I'm one. But I'm not weird. Anything goes as far as I'm concerned. Oh, dear. Well, I'm glad to hear that Kiva is okay. You couldn't pick up Kiva if you tried. Oh, no. I did pick Mayer up, even when he was about 8.5 stone. And I nearly broke my back doing it, but I did. I think that was to get him... I think it was to get him off the floor, because the doctor was hyperventilating. There was a polar bear in the front room. And I think the second was to get him on the table at the vet's. That'll be the vet that was frightened of dogs. You remember him?
Mm.
Oh, he wasn't a keeper, I can assure you. But, yeah, outside that, well, would be pretty tricky. I can definitely pick Lola up. She's much lighter than Maya. I would say she's probably only about half what he weighed. But he was a boy to start with, and the boys are bigger than girls, and he was built like a tank. He was what they called big for the breed. Oh, do you think I could get away with that? I'm big for the breed. That's a good one, that. I like that. I'm getting the evil eye here. Oh, my. Oh, yes, Renee, did you celebrate? Oh, you forgot. How could you forget? With all the orange that's out there. I was rooting for you. Thing was, Netherlands were 2-0 up. And then the other side scored. It was a cracking goal. I thought, whoa, that was an amazing goal. And then they got another amazing goal. And I thought, oh, do you know, they actually have deserved here at least a draw. But then the Netherlands scored again. So always was, but you know, at the end they were crying on the pitch. And I thought they played really well. They had done very, very well. At least Boris can remember where he is. Trudeau said he thinks Biden won't make it to 2023. Have we had another Bidenism? He's Ronald Reagan, isn't he? When he called Princess Diana David. And then everybody had to be called Larry because it was the only name he could remember. That was a spitting image gag, that. But he did seem to like lose it towards the end. But Biden's not really been firing on all cylinders, even before the election. I mean, there was the thing where he tripped up the stairs. Once he's fine, we all trip up, but he basically tripped up three times on the way up the stairs. But some of the things when he's talking, I noticed his wife was finishing his sentences, which could just be, you know, that's how they work. But it does just look a bit weird. He makes me nervous. You know, don't make the crowd nervous. He makes me nervous, as though he is going to forget something or whatever. I don't know. I don't know with him. Perhaps being a vet wasn't the best career if you're scared of dogs. Well, yeah, there is that, Anthony. Oh, he was ridiculous, that vet. He was the idiot where they had file colours to make it really clear. The pink ones mean it's a girl and the blue folders means it's a boy. So he stood there with the blue folder in his hand, backing off from the dog, saying, how old is she now? I'm just like, OK, we're going to need a new vet. And then, of course, he was scared of dogs. So he was backing off and he actually looked petrified. But the thing was, Maya was about four months old. He was a puppy. He was a puppy and he was adorable. He didn't even have adult teeth. In fact, by then, he was probably losing half his teeth. And he was petrified, absolutely petrified. Well, I think that was the only time my mum had come in with me, because she didn't do vets either. We go outside and she said, was he for real? There are no words, really, for vets like that. No, we didn't last there 5 minutes. She had another complaint as well, which is just, this epitomised my mother. She was in the car. I think I took him in for his puppy test. I think she came in after that. But she was sat in the car and there was only, the parking was ridiculous. It's right next to Sainsbury's. And actually, it's the only, it's a house. It was a house originally that was converted into being a vet's. And it actually sits in what would be Sainsbury's car park, but with a little picket fence around it. So the only parking they've got is at the front. And I think they really, it's like one or two spaces tops. That's it. It's on a main road near the traffic lights. So you can't park outside. So somehow we'd got a parking space. So she sat there. And when I came out, she said, just before you drive off. I said, yeah. She said, just look at the windows. So I turned around and I looked at them. And I think at the time, they were wooden windows painted green. So I glanced. I said, yeah. She said, they're absolutely filthy. When was the last time they had those windows cleaned? She said, oh, you can't trust someone who doesn't clean the windows. And I thought, well, she's got a point. You know, as a business, they were absolutely filthy. I said, we've got bigger problems in there than the windows are dirty. So that was when I told her he was afraid of dogs. I wonder how it'd be with something like a crocodile. He was the one. We went in for something, didn't we? Was that the one where he was going to gnaw at his foot and they put a cone on him? But we were sat outside and a Great Dane came in. And this dog was way bigger than the vet. The vet was about 5'2". This dog was twice the size of him. And I don't know what they were trying to do to this dog. It wasn't an accident or something. You know, he walked in all right. And he went into the surgery and they closed the door. And what was it like, Mike? It sounded like a cartoon, a Sylvester cartoon. Sylvester and Tweety Pie, you know, all the banging and clanging. It sounded like that. And the vet's screaming. There's like the dog thumping on the door. And I thought, I don't know what they're doing in there. We just couldn't stop laughing. Dog came out in one piece. The vet didn't look too healthy, but the dog survived. He must have been giving him some kind of like injections or something. But the dog was way bigger than he was. Way bigger. And he was petrified of dogs to start with. Yeah, exactly. Not the best choice, but there you go. Right. So at least you didn't think there were airplanes in the Civil War. There was that one as well, wasn't there, Simon? And yet these people, not only do they walk amongst us, they run the country. It's too terrifying. I always think the way that, what's his face, Trudeau, is presented in the UK, he's like he's a statesman. But we've got a friend who lives in Canada. He absolutely loathes him. He thinks he's a clown. And I'm like, I wonder what he's doing that we're not hearing about. Because over here, it's always like, oh, Trudeau, yeah, definitely a statesman. We don't hear idiocies from him, but maybe there is that we're not hearing. Because we said that there was another one in Europe. And they are portrayed here as being statesmen. And then you find out that, no, they're not. They're up to mischief or stupid things that they're doing or saying that we don't get reported on. Mind you, we did see one today on the BBC, didn't we? Have you noticed, if you're anything like us and you were of a certain age, the people who are now reporters aren't like John and Peter and Jane and Claire. No, they've got dog names like Lola. So this report, Lola and Holly, and I thought they're dog names. They're not particularly human names. But there was one called Lola Mayer. And she was the reporter. So I was quite taken with that name. Right. Scary when Biden has a case with a button in it. Hope he never loses his phone and needs to call for help. He has people for that. This is the football, isn't it, Kim? Isn't it known as the football? Saw that on an NCIS episode. It's often partisan positions. Leader of the opposition is an idiot. It seems to be. Only sometimes they are, so it's hard to tell. That's true. What can you say? Labour would be in power now if they'd have picked the other fella. Now, he did leave, I know. But if after the first Miliband, they'd have gone back to the second Miliband, he did actually... I think they would have done well with him. I think they didn't vote for him because he was a bit of a clone of Cameron. But I think they'd have got in if they'd have had that guy. And wouldn't the world have been a different place without Tony Flaming Blair? We know how much I love Tony Blair. If John Smith hadn't died. Because he also seemed like a decent guy. And I think Labour could well have got in. Instead of which, he died. And then didn't it go... Did somebody else take over and then it was Tony Blair? But it's always interesting, isn't it, when a politician dies out on a walk? Because you wouldn't have been climbing a mountain if you weren't too well. So it does make you wonder, and didn't another one die? Yeah, Robin Cook.
That's funny. Yeah.
Robin Cook died the same way and you're like, that's interesting. It usually involves like a country walk. Oh, and David Kelly, wasn't he found in a forest?
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't a country walk. He was supposed to have topped himself, but you know. Outside, country walk. Dangerous. Don't go walking if you're a politician. That's how they'll get you. Oh. Labour have picked the wrong leader for years. David Miliband would have been better. He was such a wimp running off and leaving the party after he lost. Exactly, because I think if he'd have stayed, there was no way his brother was going to make a good job of it. You know, and even if he didn't want to be around, and I can understand that, surely he knew it was only a matter of time. If he'd have stood against the other idiot, Corbyn, surely he would have won. Hands down. And then that would have been a real challenge to the Tories. It really would have been. I saw him that... I don't know how to pronounce his surname. Is it Chooker, the first name? Would have been good, but he folded the moment the press started turning up at his relatives' houses. He couldn't put them through it. Yet he seemed, I thought, as I looked at the candidates, I thought, oh no, he might do quite well. And then, like you say, they just vanish. But I can understand that. It's the press in this country. The press infuriate me. The way they go on, I mean, they were still having the fallout from the footballer. And apparently, I hadn't heard this one. Like, they know no decency, no decency whatsoever. And I know it was UEFA that let those pictures go out, but the BBC could have pulled the plug. And Ian Wright, now having said that, Ian Wright works for ITV, doesn't he? I think he's on the commentating team for ITV.
Yeah.
And he had actually tweeted, you know, for God's sake, cut to the studio. But the press are just, they'd have a camera up anybody's backside, whatever was going on. They're disgusting. So to turn up at people's houses, yeah, like Chukamuna. Genius, Simon. I think I've got a title for the show. We shall Chukamuna. well, I'm a football kid. I'm enjoying myself. I am. It was a good time to book some time off, wasn't it? What are you doing? I'm licking the bed, Mummy, and then making honky sounds. Yes, Lola. Well, can you not do that? Do you want your treats? Is it these you're looking for? Is it those?
She want more treats.
Let's put those down there. Yeah, look at that. No, you see, you don't want them. That dog will be the death of me. She really will. So yes, I am actually enjoying the football. I have enjoyed that. Like Scotland today. England was yesterday. I think we're playing tomorrow, aren't we?
No, it's Friday.
Oh, we're playing Scotland on Friday.
Clashes with After Hours.
So I'm going to have to keep my eye on it and keep you all up to date. Oh, God, it's the England-Scotland match. Oh, dear. I wonder what I can do with that. Maybe you can get some demos out of it. Who knows? But, yeah, it's on at the same time. Oh, no. Oh,
groups
well.
Groups of up to 30 can meet outdoors.
Lovely.
Which means they'll have to limit the number of people who can go to that Catinian picnic.
It's all right. I don't think they'll need to, but carry on. You have it your way. I don't think they'll need to limit it. I don't think that many people will go.
Have to be 15 couples, won't it?
Now, you see, I can solve that problem straight away for you, Mike. However, do you not see the answer to that? If they're that desperate to meet up and they want more than 15 couples, how do they do it? Make it a wedding reception! Oh dear, who's in the Catinians who isn't married? Whoops. No, I'm not doing that just so they can have a party. Oh, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody didn't suggest it, I'm telling you. There is a Catinian party planned for the 11th of July. Which, in hindsight, a little bit previous. So, yeah, bit early. Oh, Pete came in at just the right time there, Simon. Graphic post-surgery image, and up pops Pete. Can you do that again? That's amazing. Wow. What happened to her? Go on, give us some information. Wow, that is one heck of a scar, that. They could have done a better job sewing it up, couldn't they? Yeah, that could be a smidgen neater. Unless Pete wants to tell me otherwise and say that that's a really good job. Because, you know, looking at it like a seamstress, no, it could have been neater.
Fell off a bike, I guess.
Well, you never know. Do you? It could. Is this in relation to... Oh, I'm loving that thing underneath. I'm okay with all the crutches. Is this in relation to what you were talking about with the biking, or is this in relation to the lady yesterday who told the guy in the car where to go? Read the text above it. Right. Winning after what she's been through makes one a lot... Biking's greatest comebacks. So she is a professional one then, is she? Let's have a look what it says here. I think that's a guy that's followed. That is amazing to come back from that anyway. Was it an operation or was that an accident? Wow. Right, let's catch up here. Hello, Pete. Not a good look. right, I've got it. Hang on, it's moving, that's the problem. An inspiring motorbike racing story today. Anna Carrasco in World Superbikes. Young girl lady rider came back from recovering from serious spinal surgery to win. The surgery looks a little bit like the one that Eugenie had. Wasn't hers... Is it Aki Spons? I think that... it was curvature of the spine, but it was an S thing, wasn't it? It looks like that. The scar looks like that. Wow. Good. Well done to her. Well done to her. And then you got the footballers falling over. Not the guy that had the heart attack. Obviously, he had the right to fall over. But last night, you know, people were going down like a sack of potatoes and looking around and then getting up really sheepish because you're like, yeah, I can't make too much of a fuss because I've not had a heart attack. And I thought, well, that makes a change because usually the Euros are like, they as though they're looking for an Oscar for the worst performance when they fall over. But they weren't doing it as much, so that was nice. I'm glad that they weren't doing that. Right, okay. Text has stopped running up and down, so that's fine. An operation following a track incident. That must have been one heck of a crash. Whoa, you've been... Well, do you know what that reminds me of in terms of the seriousness? I mean, with your spine, you don't play around with your spine, do you? What's his name? Billy. Billy Munger. That had a crash and lost both legs and he's back racing. Just incredible. And he didn't even seem to take a stop for breath. The nurses in the hospital were saying that, you know, as soon as he came round, there was no like, poor me. It was just like, yeah, well, when can I get some fake legs and when can I get back out there racing? And he did. I think there was a programme on the BBC about it and he's just such a positive attitude. Absolutely amazing. Which some of our friends say that's why they don't like football. They cannot be doing with the histrionics as somebody like, you know, breaks a nail and then needs to take 3 hours off, which is true. They are pathetic at times. She's in a class with all the guys, champion last year. Wow. Scoliosis, that's the one. What's the other one that's Aki Sponge? I know that's not the proper name for it. That's the short form name of it. The R rate is down to 0.88. I wish ours was. Ours was 1.5 the last I heard. But I don't particularly see that another 4 weeks is going to make that much difference. You can still meet up 30 people or less. If it's a wedding, then you can have more. Your only restrictions now, I believe, are the venue. There's a level 1, 2 and a 3 or something. So that's your only limit now. So, you know, you could just move to another county because they're not stopping you doing that. So really, it just seems like a limit on numbers, a limit on pubs where I think you'd have to use the beer garden. But the weather's fabulous, so what's the problem? You'd be outside anyway. And masks, that you need to mask and socially distance. So I don't really see that as being much of a big deal for another 4 weeks. I don't understand the weeping and wailing and consternation about it. It's not like it's gone backwards and, you know, mind you, one of the things was, I don't know if you knew this, Mike, because I thought that had long gone. You know the edict of if you can work from home, you must do so, as in must do so. Yeah. So work can't drag you back in. Mm. Apparently that's the thing. So yeah. Another 4 weeks of that as well. Yeah. That works out nicely.
Yeah.
The longer that may rain, the better. Because after that, I think there will be some crossover time where they'll let you. But sooner or later, they might actually want to see that Mike's still alive.
Mm. Well, they can do a Teams call with me. I'll stick my video camera on.
Yep, I'm alive. Now go away. Oh, talking of which, a parcel came while you were out. Did you pick it up?
I know, it's downstairs.
Excellent. Oh, I could unbox that on Friday. I could indeed unbox that on Friday. Because I'm in no great rush for it and it's tech-related. That's the one. That's the one, Pete. I know two or three people who've got that. And eventually we'll need an operation to kind of straighten the spine. But they're trying to put it off as long as they possibly can. That's almost as bad as the friend that we got that had sarcoidosis of the lungs. Was a smoker, which was fine, you know, they told him to give up. Then he went in to have an operation, and while he was in there, he's like on his iPhone tweeting us, and he said, like, you know, are you all right? And he said, yeah, I'm on the balcony having a fag. I actually wrote back to him, I thought you were on oxygen. He said, yeah, I am, but I've left that by the bed. I thought, well, be grateful for small mercies that he's not dragged the oxygen outside with him as well. He did give up smoking after that, but I thought I just couldn't be in the hospital smoking on the balcony if you just had an operation for it. Oh, he was crazy. But he did somehow afterwards give up. And he found the most amazing thing to do with his hands. You know, smokers, my dad was the same. Well, what do I do with my hands? And he's like, well, get a life, Dad. But he decided to find something really useful to do with his hands. What on earth could that be? He learnt sign language. I thought that was just genius. So he was practicing all the time. And I thought, you know, and then he said, and then if I've got a cigarette in my hand, I can't do it. I thought, that genius, absolute genius. I think he's on a level 3 now. So he carried on with it as well. And does translations and, you know, put his name down for anybody who needs any help with it. Pete used to do scoliosis corrections in kids when he worked in Leeds. Big, long operations, quite a challenge. But fun to do as we had to use all the gadgets. Exactly. Rachel worked on the complex spine unit at Salford Royal, which used to be... Used to have a different name?
Hope.
Hope, that's right. Yeah, but they had to get rid of that. It was Hope Hospital for years. But then everybody started saying, like a nickname appeared, Abandon All Hope. So they then decided they called it Salford Royal, which they then did. Apparently, they've got two of the experts in the country. And that was where they did that, the one on this lady. Oh, it was amazing when they were 3D printing the actual, a thing to rest her head in. In fact, the whole of her upper body. It was stunning. I must try and find it on YouTube. We've mentioned it before. Because Rachel said, you know, watch this video. And I'm like, oh, it's from a hospital, Rachel, no. But I thought, you know, I've got to, because it's Rachel. And I did, now I'm blown away. Because she said, yes, it's a hospital, but there's technology involved. And she wasn't wrong. It was this 3D printing thing. I wonder if it went under Salford Royal. It had a stupid name. Let's try scoliosis on it. See if it finds that as well. There's one, but that's quite a way off. This one, it actually had the lady's name in it. But I was sure they'd posted it. No, I wish I knew what the lady's name was, because then I'd find it straight away. But I'm not here. I will find it. And when I find it, I'll let you know. There's an awful lot of videos about it, though. Good grief. This one was a lady's name. They've got physio teams and all sorts on here. Do you know, wouldn't it be wonderful, Pete, if you're a medical student these days? You could watch all kinds of operations on here. YouTube only arrived in 2005. So YouTube's 16 years old this year. Is that the one? No. That was 2 years ago. Mind you, it must have been on their feed. There's the one. Is it that one? Let me have a look. This is really worth watching. Let me see. There it is. Yes, it is. This is the one. The lady's called Helen, so the thing is Helping Helen, which is, you know, it's actually called Helping Helen subtitled, which is like, yeah, but no one's going to find that. So I'm sure it would have had way more views if they'd called the video, you know, if it had had scoliosis in it, if it had had like 3D printing in it. But that's what it's about anyway, and it's really worth a watch. It's a 10, 11 minute watch, but the way she was at the beginning and the way she was at the end was just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Make a note of the link for later. Oh, there you see, you've impressed Simon. Fun to do. Dear God, that's the sort of attitude you want in a surgeon. Do you know, surgeons do have to have that attitude, don't they? They don't go into it a bit on the nervy side. There's another example for the surgeon. Don't make the patient nervous. It is, isn't it, Kim? Great use for the hands. And to think of it was, to me, was stunning, because, you know, there was nobody in the family that was deaf or anything. So where you would come up with that one, I don't know, but he did. And I think he did it for about 18 months and then said he was doing his first exam. And then after that, you know, I said, oh, the different levels after that. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, you can carry on. And he's up to the third one. So I don't know how many levels there are, but it's probably been about 6 years now. And he's still going. Just stunning. And to volunteer as well. So I'm presuming things like anybody who needs help, I guess, but particularly police stations when somebody needs to be interviewed, and hospitals. So, yes, good idea. Excellent idea. The story in there about the 3D printing is that the doctors had never heard of it. Now, it doesn't make mention, that was 3 years ago, it doesn't make mention of how long before that. But then, you know, if you are top of your game in what you do and it doesn't involve 3D printing, then how would you have heard of it? Because you're probably totally immersed in all of the latest developments in your own field and not necessarily in something completely different. I think it was the IT guy overheard them or something. They were trying to work out how on earth they could operate on this woman, because it was to do with how long she was in the same position. And I thought, well, you know, if it's like less than 24 hours, why would it be an issue? But apparently it was a huge issue. And this thing meant that they could actually move the rest of her, but hold the bit still that needed to be kept still. Just total genius. But, you know, I'm watching programmes, which admittedly are probably not true, where they're growing livers. Do you remember the mini livers in Grey's? And they were 3D printing heart valves. So you're thinking to yourself, yeah, it's not a big leap, is it, to 3D print basically a lump of plastic for the woman's head to go in, based on a cast of the woman herself or a 3D scan of the woman. But it's not up there with printing heart valves. But maybe we're not at the heart valve thing, because I'm thinking, OK, I get the 3D printing thing, because I remember when 3D printing was first mentioned, we had a presentation on it. I remember sitting there thinking 3D printing, and I couldn't get my head around, you know, why was this going to be amazing? But if you're 3D printing like valves, where's the raw material come from? You know, you're not using standard plastic, are you? So I did wonder with that. I don't know how true to life that is. Oh, there you go. 3D printing of aortic stents. Amazing. That's genuine then, that one. just stunning. I guess that is important, because it would be printed to match the person's physique, which would make it far better, is how I'm assuming that's what it is. Is that common? Does that happen every day now, Pete? Or do they rely on older technology? Valves are from pigs, and the 3D print is of the assembly device that the valves are mounted on, based on the CT reconstructions. Genius. Absolutely fantastic. It shows, though, doesn't it, that when those doctors qualified, so to be at the level that they are today, must have qualified a while back, that was not a thing. That was nowhere near a thing. So they have to adapt and relearn technologies. And yet I see so many people, and we're not talking at the level of a doctor, but lawyers moan about it, accountants moan about it, this continuing professional development. But you can't stand still. And I don't understand lawyers. They absolutely loathe it. They would pay somebody else to take their continuing professional education for them. And I'm thinking, but that's the exciting bit. That's where you get to see developments. And also, you know, you need that. I remember you need it to help your client. I remember I was in the office of my principal, and I was only 20, I think. And she called me in. She, like, waved me in as I went past the door. And she stood there, and she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and she was clearly talking to the lawyer of the opposition. And she covered up the mouthpiece, and she says, what the hell is St. Catherine's Dock? And then carried on talking, and then covered it up again. Do you know? And I'm looking at her like, well, it's a staple case, you fool. St. Catherine's Dock is one of the cases. So I said, do you know what it is? I said, yes. She said, good, stay there. So she carried on rattling away. Well, I'm going to have to take this under advisement. And off she went. They're quoting St. Catherine's Dock at me. What's all that about? And I'm like, well, what's your interpretation of where we're at? So she tells me the case thing. St. Catherine's Dock applies the principle that you don't have to prove someone was negligent. You just have to claim that something had happened that would not have happened, could not have happened without it being negligence. So the law is known as the facts speak for themselves, or res ipsa loquitur, which is a Latin phrase. There I am having to explain this to her. And I said, and this case was old. I think it was about 1976. I said, just out of curiosity, when did you leave law school? She said, 1974. I thought, well, that does explain that. But how had she managed to make it to the mid-90s without knowing about it? I have no idea. But doctors are amazing and they have to keep up with it. I think lawyers are supposed to. It is by law they are supposed to do it. But they just don't want to. And they will pay somebody else. Or they'll go on an easy course. And an easy course is how this works. You get a third-party education provider that the Law Society approves. And what the Law Society is unaware of is that this company is taking money for doing it. But to keep both sides happy, they're letting the lawyers come in and just sign in and then go. But they're not learning anything. But they get away with it. They get their money. They're happy. The lawyers get their points. They're happy. The only one's not happy, the clients, when the lawyer doesn't know about St. Catherine's Dock, etc. Unbelievable. Not every day, but it's becoming more common. Is it in particular hospitals? Because I would imagine the hospitals on the tech front, this would surely be a heck of an investment. Oh, no. Anthony says, Leeds Congenital Heart Unit are printing hearts for surgeons to help the surgeons plan surgery. Wow. Unbelievable. Oh, so for Pete, Pete's saying if it's mandatory, file lecture every year. That never changes. It gets a bit wearing. No, I mean the stuff that that you would imagine, if that's your area, you'd be quite excited about. I would see that as must do. I mean, the CPD I had to do was absolutely dire. If you think the fire thing was bad, I had to do, you got to choose. You could choose the accounts for a company. It had to be accounts, sadly, which, you know, numbers. And, you know, I love numbers, but not these accounting principles. It had to be the accounts of a company or a succession settlement case. So wills and probate. And I thought, oh, dear God, you know, which one? Both as bad as one another. So I think I picked corporate. But I only picked corporate because we had to sit through the lecture and my eyes were just rolling. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about here. It was bad. But I thought, if I pick corporate, so I'm on the phone to my mate. And I said, you know your husband? She said, yeah. I said, well, you know he's an accountant? She said, yeah. I said, can he give my thing that I had to do? It wasn't an exam that you had to do there. You took it away and did it. I said, well, when I've done it, can you give it the once over? She said, yeah, sure, of course he will. So I said, would he be stronger on corporate accounts or wills and probate? She went corporate. I said, right, I'll do corporate then. And I went in and I did the corporate on that basis, that I was going to be able to run this by her husband, James. So I did it, and it was back in the day. You know, I couldn't even have emailed it. I don't think they had email at home, but they did have a fax machine. So I faxed this through to him. It was like 30-odd pages, and he faxed it back with like a couple of corrections on it. And so one was a spelling mistake that made it sound as though it was like written in West Country accent. So something like, you know, it'd be good, that be. It was totally wrong. But the number's not bad, so he actually put on it, you've done really well with that. And I thought, I have no idea how. I really don't. Because that was nothing to do with what I did. So what I did in the day job was all plaintiff work in medical malpractice. So there's no point really sitting me down with a set of accounts for a company, is there? It's a waste of time. If they'd have sat everybody down and said, OK, so here's a medical malpractice case, they wouldn't have known where to start. Not a clue. But that was what I did. But they with this, the continuing professional stuff, it's not necessarily what you do. It's like a box ticking exercise. So I got the box ticked on that one, but did not enjoy it. Isn't that fraud? Yes, it is, Anthony. But that's what happens, and they get away with
my
it.
My dad took some O-levels for somebody once talking of fraud.
Good grief. Why would you do that? I mean, would you get done for it, or would they? That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Both, probably.
I think, well, it's not particularly, it shows no integrity, does it? Did he have something on your dad?
I've no idea.
Was he blackmail or money? One or the other. Oh, no, you see, Kim loves it. Especially love the courses about when things went wrong and what they did to correct it. Learning from others' mistakes, great, so as not to make them again. Exactly, but that, unfortunately, in the law, that's not what it's about. It's a box-ticking exercise. Everybody has to do the same continuing professional education, even though they don't work in that field. So the next time round, it could have been house conveyancing, which is like, wouldn't know one end of it from the other. I know everybody thinks, oh, solicitor, house conveyancing. But, you know, the bottom was going to fall out of that market. That wasn't where I wanted to be. I wanted a connection with the clients. You know, not the type, I mean, you know, house conveyancing. What are people like? You can't see the back of them fast enough. Oh, and another one for me was in business law. I got lumbered with this client because nobody else in the building, because the entire practice was medical malpractice. There were two cases I got lumbered with. One was somebody who wanted, they were an article clerk and they wanted to do family law, which is grand, but we don't do family law. So they didn't have a principal on site who could guide this person. So as long as it was like just tick the boxes, they were fine. And they'd booked an appointment with this woman whose husband was from somewhere else, some country like Oman or somewhere like that, who'd run off with the kids. And it was an emergency. They were trying to put out an all ports warning to stop this guy leaving the country. This article clerk wasn't up for that. She wouldn't even see the woman. She totally bottled it. So with this woman coming in with her sister and this girl hiding in the toilets, the principal said, will you see them? I said, I don't know anything about family law. I gave it up. I said, I did about 9 months, then gave it up. I thought, I can't be doing with this. The only reason I took it was, we have to remember case names for exams. And it'll be like, you know, Donoghue and Stevenson or the Crown and whoever. But in family law, it's dead easy, isn't it? It's Jones v. Jones and Smith v. Smith. It's fabulous. You only have to remember one name. Because by definition, it's about divorce. So that was the reason I took it. Anyway, I didn't enjoy it one little bit, so I gave it up. So I said, well, can't you see them? He said, I'm not seeing them. So I had no option. And I'm on my way to the boardroom where they were sitting and I'm thinking, I know nothing. This is criminal. So I'm frantically trying to like just take myself back to family law lectures. And what did you do in a circumstance where someone had nicked the kids? And I'm thinking, there was an all port warning that you could do. I remember that. You know, and you needed to register this with the some Somerset House thing. And then that went off to Interpol or something if they'd got out of the country. And I talk about scratchy. Honestly, it was just what I could remember. So you walk in and you put a face on yourself and you just say what you've got to say. But I did have to say, you know, before we start, I said this practice is not a specialist in family law and your situation is so serious, you do need a specialist in family law. And that kind of calmed her down straight away. I said, but in the interim, what we need to do is ring the police and da-da-da-da-da-da and get this all ports warning out and hopefully stop him leaving the country. Because if he got out of the country, then it was a whole different ball game. But that is what happens. I mean, really, the principal should have taken care of that and told her exactly what I told her, which is we're not qualified to deal with it. I guess he didn't want to admit it. It does sound like suits you quite right. You're walking in there thinking, I'm not qualified to talk about this. I'm not a family lawyer. Leave me alone. But that does happen for real. Yes, Mike's sneezing again, isn't he? Mm. Do you think I should be worried?
No.
I'm getting concerned. So anyway, who's playing tonight? Oh, we've got more football on here. Is it on ITV tonight or BBC?
I have no idea.
Oh, Mike, I need to know who's playing. Come on. It's entertainment, this. It's entertainment. Like I say, I enjoyed the Scotland match, although I would have loved it if they'd have won. Because I'm not one of these. Do you remember Andy Murray that year?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, sadly, Mum was alive at the time. He nearly wasn't. She nearly went for him. I can't remember who we were playing, England. Was it Yugoslavia? No, it would have been way after Yugoslavia was a place. Anyway, he wore the shirt of whoever we were playing in like a sort of defiance, and she hated that. So she hated Andy Murray with a passion after that, I can assure you. No, it's not on ITV. It's BBC and it's Spain-Sweden tonight. Spain and Sweden. I like Sweden. Ooh, but then there's Spain. So Tracy. Oh, I'm going to be torn tonight. I might just take no side whatsoever tonight with that. Just in case. But I do like Sweden. I remember supporting Sweden in the 1978 World Cup. You're wondering why, aren't you? This was because England didn't make it to the 1978 World Cup finals. 82 was the first time I saw England play in a World Cup. But yeah, they didn't make it in 78. And Scotland did, but Scotland were home before the postcards. Mm. So then I needed a team and I thought, ABBA come from Sweden. I'll support Sweden. So I did. Oh dear. Hello, Dee. Season 6 finale for Line of Duty. Will there be another season? Up in the air at the moment, Kim. I don't know what the writer's thinking. I think there's a possibility the writer's thinking that you know, enough is enough. Could there be another season? I don't see why not. So did you see episode 6 with the wee donkey? Best line ever. Have you seen the wee donkey? You love it as much as 24. It's very 24-esque, isn't it? You never know. In 24, the thing I absolutely loved, although it was nerve-wracking, you never knew who was going to die. Anybody could have gone. They didn't like, ah, oh, he's a big star, so, you know, he's going nowhere. People just got shot, blown up, you name it. Even Edgar and Chappelle. Those are the ones I remember with, like, wow. You always think they're going to, like, pull something out of the bag at the end, and then they didn't, and they died. And it's the same with this. Do you remember me saying to you that my favourite was season 4, I think it was? The one with Roz. At the beginning, you're thinking, I mean, big star, Tandy Newton, wasn't it? Was it Tandy Newton? I think it was. A big star. And she's dead on the floor. And you're like, but we've not finished the first episode yet. And then they completely switch it round. Unbelievable. That I love that one. And I thought that Jason Watkins was amazing. Or is it Justin? Jason or Justin Watkins? The one that was in McDonald and Dodds. And I thought he was like a great comic actor. And I've seen him since in 2 other things. He's a really serious actor. He's fantastic. I thought, how have I missed this guy before? But I love that one. I love that. Line of Duty, anybody could be bent. Exactly. Pete, how have you never seen 24? It's worth a binge watch. It absolutely is worth a binge watch. I saw that. It was advertised, I think it was 2001. Maya was a baby. It was the autumn of 2001. And I saw it advertised. I got, like, the Radio Times. And I thought, oh, this doesn't look bad. You know, and I read up about it, and it said, like, it's in real time. So I thought, well, it's a bit of a gimmick, so I'll watch it, you know, for the gimmick, basically. Watched the first episode and was absolutely blown away. And Mike got hooked on it, and trust me, Mikey's not one for getting hooked on TV programmes, are you?
No.
But one look at 24 and you're hooked. I think it's on demand somewhere, isn't it? It could be on Amazon Prime. What services have you got, Pete? Search Amazon for 24. And then let's see if it's on Prime. It's on Prime Video. But is it Prime Video? Oh, it's not on Prime. Hmm. Where have I seen it then? Is it on Sky? Is it on... Give me an iPad. Go on, give me an iPad. Where have I put the iPad? The one with the TV on it. Oh, never mind. Let's have a look at this one. It could be on Sky then. Because we were threatening a 24 marathon. Yes, Lola. Sorry to disturb you, babe. What am I looking for? Now TV. There we go. Now TV. I think it must be on there. Kaz is a huge, huge fan. She loved it, so we said, let's have a marathon while we're in lockdown. But, you know, we could be in lockdown for the rest of our natural lives. So let's have a look for 24 and see if it's on there. You've got to suspend your disbelief, to be honest. But even so, it's fantastic. No, I don't see it on there either. No, who's got 24? Does anybody know where you can see 24? I've got the box set, so I'm fine. That was when box sets were a thing. Right. Kim's going to watch him again. Now you know who everybody is. Oh, Life on Mars. That was a good one, Simon. That was good. What were the other ones called? Ashes to Ashes. I didn't see the first one. I hadn't seen Life on Mars when I started watching Ashes to Ashes. But I don't think you actually needed to. I think you could follow along anyway. And then later on, I saw Life on Mars and absolutely loved it. Loved it. I did exactly the same, Kim. I watched everything from series one through to series six, episode five, the day before. So in the week leading up to the final ever episode, I watched the whole lot again. And it's worth it. It is definitely worth it. There's so nuances that you miss. Dee watched it to fit in with the cool kids. You got it on Hulu. No, we don't have Hulu, do we?
No.
I think we did at that on that bite, so we don't have Hulu. Oh, Mrs. Simon watched Line of Duty. Watching on it just doesn't appeal. It's either your thing or it's not, especially when it rumbles on for 9 years like that did. There were things that came up in the very last episode that harked right back to episode one. So if you'd watched it when it first came out and you hadn't done the catch-up, I don't really know if you would even have remembered. There was a guy who turned up in, I think it was series five. Was it five? I think it was five, the beginning of series five. And he'd been in series one. But in series one, he was an 11-year-old kid. So obviously I'm like, I'm not particularly recognising this guy. And then I thought, oh, good grief. You know, and you saw this picture. But the funniest thing in Series 6 is if you know who the photo fit is. Absolutely hysterical, but I'm going to wait until Kim's seen it before we discuss that. Tracy's never seen 24 either. Oh, no. It's good. You know, it is a bit... You know, like he'll jump onto a moving train and stuff like that. But, again, you just never know who's going to go. And it, what do you say with 24? The stories are good, aren't they? And you never know who's going to go. But more than that, all of a sudden you'll get like some humour in it. I mean, there was this particular bit in 24. It won't spoil it because I won't tell you in the context of who it was. But there's this bit where somebody shoots somebody. They don't want to, right? You know, they're a goodie and they don't want to. But this person comes in to attack them and she's on the phone. And she's saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he said, shoot him, shoot him. So she shoots this person. And then he says, like, are you there? Are you there? And is he dead? Is he dead? She said, I don't know. He said, shoot him again. It was the way it was said. It was like the wee donkey. It was a wee donkey moment, that. I think that's my highlight of 24 ever. That's the best bit 24 ever. Oh, right, let's catch up here. Disney Plus. No, I am not aware of Disney Plus. Does anybody have Disney Plus? Not enough Ford Capris or people getting beaten up for Simon. The funny part of that is, you know where they had, when they went back to the cop shop in that, Simon, and they pulled up in old cars, didn't they? Because it was supposed to be the 70s. And then they dashed up some steps and it looked a bit... urbanish, with like 1970s concrete slabs. It was watching how they did that made me laugh. That is a place in Manchester right next to the courts. It's called Crown Square and the Crown Court is there. But if you'd have seen that, you'd have seen all the modern seating and stuff. So if you actually notice when all these cars screeched up to the police station and they dived out and they rushed up these stairs, the camera was always at the bottom of the stairs, always pointing upwards. And you could see the side of the building and the sky, but you never actually saw in that square because it's quite modern in the square. But that actually at one stage was a police station. So from that perspective, it was spot on accurate, that, for Manchester in the 70s. But it was the way that they filmed it at certain angles, so you didn't see other things. Things like satellite dishes that would have given away that it wasn't the 70s. Very cleverly done. Very cleverly done. Renee only got in at season 4. Didn't have the earlier seasons. Which one's this, Renee? Line of Duty, by the look of it. But I think the thing with Line of Duty is seeing series 1 set you up for watching the rest. I think if you didn't start with season 1, you'd be coming in and be thinking that there were things that were going on that you'd missed. So I can understand it. Oh, I've now got Boris on the TV. Yak, yak, yak. British flags. Yak, yak, yak. Do you know, I'll just surround myself in the flag. It'll be fine. No, Boris, it won't. People hate your guts. But then, to be honest, they hated your guts before you stood up on your hind legs and started rabbiting. Just listen to Simon. Simon's taking the pulse of the country. And we've had enough of Boris. Sounds like Jeremy Brett's Sherlock Holmes episode, where in the London streets there's always someone standing reading a paper every 20 metres in order to have a parking meter. I saw the set of that, Simon, and it was amazing. They actually built Baker Street in Granada Studios, life size, and there was a bus tour. The bus being an open top bus. Where you went from one end of Baker Street and it took you past all the stuff there and then it got to the end, and at the end there was the Brandenburg Gate. So then all of a sudden you're in Nazi Germany and all of these German soldiers got on. It was quite terrifying. But yeah, I saw Baker Street and loved it. Absolutely loved it. They even had the inside of Baker Street inside one of the... You went inside the... It was a Granada Studio tour thing at the time. And you went inside and you went from like one thing that they'd done, one programme, to another. And as you rounded the corner, it was like, this is Sherlock Holmes's flat inside Baker Street. And it was exactly the same as the series. They had literally lifted it from the series, because by then I think the series had finished. And you could sit down in like an auditorium facing the thing. And they had like people dressing up as Mrs... God, what was his housekeeper called? Well, his housekeeper anyway. And she wandered in and told you the story. It was fascinating to see it. And stuff worked as well. Like there'd be a pipe there and there'd be smoke coming out of it. Obviously like some kind of animatronic thing going on. Tony's got an updated logo. I will have a look. I will have a look at that. 24's on Amazon Prime in the States. It used to be on Amazon Prime here, but it's disappeared. Not happy with that. But luckily I've got the box set, so I can watch the whole thing whenever I want. You can understand why Jeremy Brett didn't occasionally accidentally walk into the Rovers on the odd occasion. They were very close, actually, Simon. And another thing that was there, very close to Baker Street, was the set for First Among Equals, which was the Geoffrey Archer adaptation of the book. So it was the House of Commons. And you could go in there in the tour... and you could take up a position on the opposition side or the government side. And they actually had you stood at the dispatch box, like shouting at each other. So I think we were on the government side, weren't we? And I think I stood up. And then the opposition are going, boo, 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 you know, like they do. It was a good experience to see it. But, you know, I can't help looking at politicians think they act like animals. In fact, they act worse than animals anyway. So, it didn't surprise me that people behaved like that. See the politicians doing that. Good night, Anthony. We're going to head off as well. A Sweden kickoff, and Boris is yakking on the other screen. So Boris is about to go, I can assure you. We're going to head off. I'm going to put that video link in because it is a really good video. So this was the video of helping Helen, which is the 3D printing for operations. It's definitely worth a watch. But we will say good night and see you tomorrow. So for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.